this is a good recording, man.
Yeah, brother, like, dig it. Solid, right on.
There's too many of you crying. Brother, brother, brother.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning, G. Calvin. How you doing?
I stayed up a little bit too late last night, but I'm doing okay. How are you, Earl?
Yeah, I'm doing fine, man. I want to make a quick announcement before we get started, and congratulations to our technical teams, led by Jorge and others. As man, have you seen our brand new website?
I did. It is sleek and new.
It is. Congratulations to all who were involved in putting together a spectacular new website for Civic Media. If you haven't been there, go to civicmedia.us/, and you will see what is clearly, Calvin, a culmination of a lot of hard work and a lot of smart people who, you know, has put together an envious website for us. I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, I am too. It should make it a lot easier for people to find our shows and our stations on the web.
Yeah, again, you go to civicmedia.us/, and you will get a chance to see our wonderful new website. Got a lot of stuff we're going to be talking about this morning, and I've got a guest in the studio, so I want to go right to him, and we'll get into all the other things that we'll be talking about later on in the show. But I want to welcome back none other than Claiborne Benson. He is the founder and curator of Wisconsin's Black Historical Society. Good morning to you, Claiborne. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much for having me.
And for those of you who may not know, Claiborne worked over 40 years as a cameraman for WTMJ television. Mm-hmm. And so let's do this. We had you on last week, man, and you did a really great job on explaining a little bit about our history.
We talked about the Underground Railroad a little bit, and it's coming through Waukesha. I didn't mention all the many churches near the river where many of the Underground Railroad people stayed at during their tenure here in the Waukesha area. So very much Europeans are very much involved in that Underground Railroad process, in which they made their way up through the Fox River and into Waukesha. And Waukesha is the regional capital for the Underground Railroad that takes place in the state of Wisconsin.
I have to tell you, I spoke with some people after the show.
Yes.
And they really enjoyed the information that you gave. They didn't know anything about those things. Mm-hmm. Some who live here in Waukesha.
Yes.
And Claiborne, this does go back to what we've been saying about the importance of this history, right?
Collaboration and history is very, very important. And Black history happens to happen in America, and it's American history. And it is those that would say that it's just simply history about Black people. By no means that is true. That almost all of our history includes involvement of Europeans as well. Sherman Booth, Sherman Boulevard, argued the case before the United States Supreme Court, the state of Wisconsin's Supreme Court, on whether or not African Americans should have the right to vote. I mean, clearly it's been Europeans engaged and involved in making this a reality.
You know, you just said something, Sherman Boulevard.
Yeah.
So I've lived in the city my entire life, almost 70 years, know about the name Sherman Boulevard, but know nothing about where it came from, and why it's there.
Sherman Booth, very much so, very, very much involved in it. And that's one of the subjects we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the referendum vote of 1849. Now, we hear a lot about the referendum vote of 1840, but we hear it in context of other subjects. women, rights of women, pregnancy, abortion, but we don't hear about it as it relates to African Americans. And African Americans are definitely involved.
So, what was the referendum of 1849?
But before I share that with you, let me step back 1 year to the state of Wisconsin wanting to become a state. And statehood is crucial to financing, being involved in the government. So in 1846, the state of Wisconsin drafts a constitution, state's constitution, that everybody's happy with. But embedded in the state's constitution, African-Americans are given the right to vote. African-American men are giving the, I'm repeating that only because it's a very significant point. And those founding fathers made the decision to take it out of the Constitution of 1849. It goes into a holding pattern, and in 1848, we actually become a state with the right to vote for African Americans taken out of the state's Constitution. So African Americans are forced to accept not being involved in the state's Constitution in 1848. But then they step forth and they say, and we're only talking approximately 75 to 100 people living in the state of Wisconsin during that time. Not a lot of African-Americans. But they step forth and encourage and state and demand that the have a referendum vote. There are a lot of issues on the ballot, or I call it a ballot, but a lot of issues on the referendum vote of 1849. And I mentioned that women, we talk about it all the time now as it relates to women. But issues come before us, all referring to the referendum vote of 1849. However, they don't mention at the very bottom of the list is, should African Americans have the right to vote? And so at the outcome of it, they say African Americans do not have the right to vote. And they blame it on technicality is what they say. Oh, I don't know what technicality is. You, if you ask somebody to tell you all kinds of crazy justifications for not allowing it, even though the numbers reflected and did say that African Americans should have the right to vote, the answer is after the vote is over, we do not get the right to vote. And so people accept that and they go on with their life, but they're not happy with it. That's 49. But throughout the 50s, there's marches and demonstrations of all sorts demanding that African Americans have that right to vote. They're insistent that they have that right to vote. And so we got Frederick Douglass coming to Wisconsin. We got marches and parades. We've got conferences discussing voting. All sorts of things that happens in the 1850s. And it comes before us again at the end of the 1850s. Should we have the right to vote, we lose that right again. And as I said earlier, Sherman Booth and Ezekiel Gillespie. It's Ezekiel Gillespie wants to take this issue to the courts, and then he takes it to the state Supreme Court.
Cliburn, let me ask you a question. We weren't freed by 1850. What were the chances of us getting?
Well, we were a free state.
Oh, we were a free state.
1789, it says that there'd be no slavery in the state of Wisconsin.
But blacks weren't free.
Yes, they were.
Oh, they were.
And those that were living in Wisconsin.
Oh, okay.
Oh, well, I won't say everybody, but majority of the people were free living in the state of Wisconsin. There were some enslavement going on in the state of Wisconsin, some in the Milwaukee area, and most of them in the western part of the state, in the lead mining's where I talked about last week.
Right.
But so slavery did exist in the state of Wisconsin, and I lost my concentration for a second there. The Supreme Court takes on the issue of voting for African Americans, and at the end of that, they filed it in 1865, and in 1866 they come up with a solution.
That's after the Emancipation Proclamation.
That's after the Emancipation Proclamation. That's after the Civil War is over. They even do a petition of all veterans. Should African Americans in the state of Wisconsin have the right to vote? And they say yes. The veterans, white veterans and black veterans, say yes, they should have the right to vote. And so at the end of the the discussion for the state Supreme Court, Chief Smith says that indeed African Americans do have the right to vote, and that the decision made by those people in 1849 referendum vote was wrong, and African Americans do have the right to vote. He made this decision in 1866. But over the course of the years since 1866 through today, we've had a whole number of methods to disenfranchise African Americans and having that voter ID. I mean, what did we do before voter ID came along? I mean, I really wonder what we did, because now they say you got to produce some form of ID and pull out your driver's license or your bank, your bill or some sort. Right. But voter ID was put in front of us as a method to determine. So everybody's got to come up with the voter ID. Redistricting, map redistricting. Of course, that just came before the Supreme Court and ruled unconstitutional. And they have to go back to the drawing board to come up with another mapping. But it's one method of manipulating and determining the representation for each district so that they can have a larger number. During the period of COVID, they closed down in the Milwaukee area, and they blame it on Democrats, of course. I'm not sure that it matters whether it was a Democrat or a Republican. It don't matter. Fewer and fewer African Americans actually went to the polls during that period of time. And they closed the polls, so you only got five polls open and fewer and fewer ballots. And so few people actually went to the polls. And if you ask any other little old lady, they'd tell you, I'm going to go, a white lady, of course, I'm going to go to the polls if it's cold, if it's hot, whether there's water or don't water. I'm going to the polls, hook or crook. And so
let's do this. My guess is, you may know by now, if not those of you who are just joining us, is Claiborne Benson. He is the curator of Wisconsin's Black Historical Society. He's here to continue the information that I think is vital to all of us. It's Black History Month, and so we're going to continue throughout this month to bring in guests like Claiborne. You can join us at 844-967-2789. You're tuned into 540 AM WAUK and 101 FM The Shaw. And at Civic Media, you're tuned into The Earl Ingram Show. You can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. I'm joined by my special guest, Mr. Claiborne Benson. He is the founder and curator of Wisconsin's Black Historical Society. And so, Claiborne, you can join us at 844-967-2789.
There's a continuation of things. For example, recently, there is the threat of fraud, voter fraud. Clearly, there has been no proven evidence of voter fraud, and there have been Republicans who actually have done extensive research on whether or not fraud existed, or especially in the African-American areas, and there's no evidence of it. Not saying that there aren't one or two incidents of it, but on massive fraud to influence our whole voting process has not happened.
Well, you would say nothing that would warrant all of these major changes that have come into existence.
That's right.
Based on really a lie.
Yeah, you're right. Based on a lie or a threat that they're concerned. And so you ask the question, how does this impact how does this impact us today? Why should we be concerned about it? When we can have a system that say that a UW system take $32 million out of the budget, when education is the most important thing that has to happen to educate or empower people in general, Black, Native Americans, Hispanic communities, whatever, education is the key. If you don't want to see bad behavior, educate them. And that is what the university system was doing with the $32 million. And the system makes a decision to take that $32 million off the table and block all other kinds of events that take place that brings money into the African-American community. African-Americans are taxpayers, and they do deserve to have some involvement in the budget.
You know, so you talked about the $32 million. What is that?
The UW system.
Because of diversity,
that's
equity,
right,
and inclusion.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. They take that money out of the budget so that it does not go. And I'm sure that that had to have some impact. But clearly, the UW system is crucial to our survival. And our people need to have the educational assistance so that they can get an education.
So Claiborne, we tout around the world our voting capabilities, and that it's been said we've got the greatest political system in the entire world, and yet there's people are led to believe that it's dysfunctional because somebody didn't get elected that they wanted to get elected, and so we're willing to throw all that down the river and then disenfranchise other people.
That's right.
Based on a lie. I mean, it's just true. And all of this history that you're talking about that our forefathers and other people fought, bled, and died for, they just take that away with one fell swoop, and then people are silent on it. Yeah. It's just not right.
Well, it's not right. You asked a question earlier, when did all African Americans get the right to vote nationally?
Right.
When did this in other states as well? And it's 4 years later, 1870 is when African Americans gained the actual legitimate right to vote, not just in Wisconsin, but in the entire United States. We get the right to vote.
You know, Claiborne, I would say without question that this knowledge, this history, that you are giving us right now, it's not just important to children. It's important to adults who didn't know.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, it is.
I mean, so we go through our entire lives not knowing what transpired, what took place, why things are the way they are. And there's a history that you can follow that will point step by step how we got to where we are right now.
And so I started this out by the 1849 referendum vote being African Americans being denied the right to vote. But then as I ended, all of these little things are a continuation of methods to prevent African Americans from having the right to vote. I didn't mention two African American teachers hired in 1939 to be teachers in the Milwaukee Public School. Now, as far as people are concerned, at that point, there was no African-American teachers. These teachers are hired, and Samuel Cerf makes a decision that he wants to be reelected in the seventh automatic district in Milwaukee, and he is elected. He gets some Black support to be elected. He's a white person, and he gets reelected as the seventh automatic district alderman, but he hires these two Black teachers, and up until that point, there aren't any Black teachers, and people are happy about it, and they support him. I guess I don't know what the answer is there. He is bribing people to elect him, because that's a big concern of the white aldermen during that period of time, and it's county supervisors and state representative to be reelected into their districts and yet he is. All of these are little methods in which have been to manipulate the outcome of the elections, and that's what we should not be having.
You know, Claiborne, this information is not to make anybody feel bad. There's nobody living today that was involved in any of those things. Yeah. So there's no reason that anybody living today should feel bad about what transpired back then.
Right.
The point of this information that you are giving is to make sure that people understand what did happen.
Yes.
And it is important. We can't say, well, that happened. We don't want to be reminded of it. Because other people's history, they make sure you're reminded of it, right?
Certainly, yeah.
And never forget what happened. But our history, people want to just somehow say, well, you know, that happened back then.
Yeah.
No. No,
I made the point how these things are happening now.
Right.
How the things that happened then are influencing behavior patterns that are happening now.
All right. My guest is Claiborne Benson. He is the curator of Wisconsin's Black Historical Society and founder. 844-967-2789. We're going to continue this very important conversation.
Tell me that you love me, yeah.
Tell me something good.
Oh, baby, 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 yeah. Tell me that you like it, yeah.
Tell me something good.
Oh, tell me, baby, tell me.
Hookah, chaka.
I can't stop this feeling deep inside of me. Girl, you just don't realize what you do to me. When you hold me in your arms so tight, you let me know everything's alright.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Claiborne Benson, the curator and founder of Wisconsin's Black Historical Society. You know, Claiborne, you know, we do this, you know, once a month, once a year, and the information you know, should be taught in schools all over this country. It's not,
right?
You know, and unfortunately, it's not taught always even in the urban schools.
Yeah. It's unfortunate. And at the heart of my discussion about voting in the 1849 referendum vote, the state Supreme Court said that that referendum was unlawful and illegal, and that African Americans should immediately have the right to vote. But that's at the heart of what we're all about, is voting. That's the power that we have, each of us have in our hands, to decide who our representatives are going to be if we're being denied that right. Everybody wants that right to determine who is going to represent them. And you being a citizen gives you that right to at least extend your one man, one vote. Or one woman, one vote, right? And so that's why I mentioned it. The referendum folks made the decision that it was unlawful for African Americans, and the state Supreme Court overruled them. And yet the struggles continue even today with various methods of blocking African Americans from underhanded kind of methods.
You know, Claiborne, young men who have been imprisoned,
yes,
and who pay their debt to society,
yes,
should be allowed to vote.
That's
right.
They should be. Yes.
So why not? Why is it not happening?
We got to educate them, and we got to let them vote, so they can be citizens, so they can have some say about what's happening around them, who's representing them.
Yes, right.
Very much so.
Let's do this. Let's go to Stephen from Green Bay. Good morning to you, Stephen. Thank you for the call.
Hi, Steve.
You say what?
I have a couple of things I want to say. First of all, good morning to both of you. It's a breath of fresh air to wake up to you guys on a Monday.
Thank you.
First of all, I want to say to URL, thank you for bringing these guests on. They're brilliant, and this stuff needs to be taught. And if our schools aren't going to do it, someone has to take on that responsibility. Thank you for doing that. I do want to say that, you know, we have the blueprints of history. All you have to do is open up a book and read.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, there's not enough people opening up books and reading. And we are seeing repeating of history. We are seeing things that have already been done, already been tried, old news, and we're trying them again, thinking that it's going to work. It's not. It didn't work then. It's not going to work now. We have to start educating our young folk and even our adults. There are so many adults my age that aren't educated on this stuff. It's important. It has to be taught somehow. So, again, thank you, Earl, for taking this on, and thank you for speaking, Benson.
Hey, Stephen, thank you very much for the call. Go ahead, Claiborne.
Yeah, I wanted to talk a little bit about my newest exhibit at Wisconsin Black Historic Society. It happens to be called Do for Self, and that name comes from...
So before you go there,
mm-hmm.
Let's talk about the museum, right?
Yes.
People don't know about the museum.
Yeah.
You're talking about an individual exhibit, but let's talk about the museum.
So the museum is located at 27th and Center. It's an old Center Street library and old Savoy Theater in the German neighborhood. We've been there for 36 years, as you know. I'm a past retirement, a news journalist from WTMJ Television, and my father and parents taught me a great deal about an interest in history. I went to UWM, undergrad in film and master's in history. And so and I've been in existence again for 36 years at the corner of 27th Center. We focus again primarily on African-American history. And we just came out of COVID. So we reached back into our archives and found a written story by a woman by the name of Mrs. Fountain. And she encouraged her daughter to write her narrative about her involvement in the UNIA, the Negro Improvement Association, headed up by Marcus Garvey. And most folks wouldn't know that Marcus Garvey actually came to Milwaukee at least two, perhaps three times to support the Black Cross nurses. So what did the Black Cross nurses do, and why am I highlighting them? They recognized in 1921, in 1920, and 1923 that the tuberculosis, or consumption as we know, was a serious problem, just like we just went through COVID, where literally hundreds, if not thousands, of people are dying all over the United States, South America, and Canada. And not just Black people, white people too. But in the case of Black people, they did not have doctors and didn't have money to go to doctors. And they ended up going to public places like the Urban League. And the doctors and nurses were reluctant. That is a good word to use, to go into homes, because the homes were dirty, the dishes needed cleaning, the kids needed, and the people needed to be treated. So thus, the Black Cross nurses become educated, go to school, some become LPNs, some become RNs, and they actually go into people's homes. They clean the house up and take care of the children and wash the dishes, and they also treat the people for tuberculosis when others would not do that. And so they weren't just in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, or Chicago. They were in New York. They were in Philadelphia. They were in Canada, all over Canada. They were in South America, L.A., Dallas, Texas. They were all over the United States treating people, and they made a huge piece. a woman by the name of Mrs. Davis was an actress, and she brought this idea to the Marcus Garvey organization, and they bought into it. And after a while, they learned that the Black Cross nurses began to get some feedback from the Marcus Garvey group that this is costing too much money and it's taking away the limelight from the Marcus Garvey movement. And the women said, we're going to do this, Uncle Crook. It is something that we can do to help our people, and we're going to do this. And it's very important for them to do it. And so the Black Cross Nurses is the exhibit that we have, and they show a real determination and pride in caring for people doing a similar disease, much like COVID that we went through. Now, one other really important thing, I have a picture in the exhibit about Malcolm X. Now, Malcolm X lived in Milwaukee as a young kid, and he lived with his parents. And his father was a Garveyite, a person who believed in the Garvey movement. His father was a preacher, a traveling preacher that would go from church to church, and he preached in many of the churches in the Milwaukee area. And we always think about Malcolm being an eloquent speaker and being able to convince large crowds of people as he ran the temple there in New York City. He got it from his daddy, sitting in the pews, listening to his daddy talk about history and preach and talk about the Garveyism and their experience.
You know, Malcolm Little.
Yes.
Was his name, and the fact
Earl Little that, was that, his daddy.
That, and the fact that during those times his church was burnt, his family was run out of town. They burned his home.
Yeah.
And we can get into all, let's do this. We got some phone calls. Let's go to the phone lines. John from Boys. Good morning to you. You say what, sir?
Hi. Good morning, Earl. It's a great subject. Do you know that when we were kids, they used to tell us history repeats itself? Thank you for talking about history. It's a step in the right direction.
Hey, John, thank you very much for the call, man. Thank you for listening. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. One thing I love about Claiborne is when he gets on here, he tells history like a story, and that's so wonderful because in our history classes, a lot of times it's done through like a textbook, which is not engaging. And Claiborne, thank you for that. And then also, Claiborne, last time you were on the show, like a year ago, well, I know you were just on last week, but like a year ago or something, you actually talked about the Catholic priest and how they actually, there was one certain priest or something that was very instrumental in Milwaukee that helped people with the Underground Railroad. And my question to you also is that even though slavery was abolished in Wisconsin, did the white people that stood up for the black people, did they have a lot of repercussions that came at them by the authorities? And I'm just wondering, because, that's the bottom line, is that because the white people are a majority of the people, they need to wake up and protect our black and brown brothers and sisters, to stand in solidarity with them and make things happen.
It's a good question, Tom. Thank you very much
for the
call.
Thank you very much, yes.
You want to respond, Clayton?
Yeah, it's interesting. He's probably talking about Father James Groppi.
Father Groppi.
Yeah, right. And Father Groppi led the fair housing movement throughout the 1960s. And even though the Archbishop told him that he did not want him engaged or the church involved in the fair housing issues or the desegregation of the school system that was totally outlawed. Father Groppi's working with Lloyd Bobby in the boycott or the strike and telling kids not to go to schools. And the schools the kids end up coming to his church. Well, not all of them, but a lot of them.
Right.
And they were turned away. They had to go over to a church over 9th and North Avenue because the Archbishop told them, no, we're not going to be engaged, involved in the desegregation of the school system. Again, we want all kids and adults to learn. And that's the way, one way. They found out through efforts, the Lloyd Bobby found out that the Milwaukee public school system were practicing segregation policies that prevented black kids from learning.
Claiborne, it was my generation that was the first to be bused.
Okay, yeah.
And so my generation benefited, the open housing marches and all those different things. Yeah. That change was something that, again, my generation benefited from. All of those people who did all of that work prior to us.
Yeah.
My older siblings didn't get the opportunities that we had. It's that work that people put in and that history.
Well, Lloyd Bobby did not like the buses. He called them yellow, he had some derogatory name for them.
Right.
You know, and black families at home were saying, hey, my son and daughter is going to a white neighborhood school and they're going to get a good education. I'm proud about that. It's okay. But when they looked into it, they found out that black kids are being taught in cold hallways, in closets. They're being taught on trailers on the back of the playground. And they weren't able to engage or communicate with any white kids.
Hey, Claiborne, that was me.
Yeah. 844-967-2789
is the phone number. Claiborne Benson, the curator and the founder of Wisconsin's Black Historical Society, is in the studio. I'm believing that you're in love with me. I said I'm hooked on a feeling and I'm high on the
didn't you? On the east side of Chicago, back in the USA, back in the bad old days, in the heat of a summer night, in the land of the dollar bill, when the town of Chicago died, and they talk about it still, when a man named Al Capone tried to make that town his own. And he called his gang to war with the forces of the law. I heard my mama cry. I heard her pray the night Chicago died.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You could text us at that same number. My guest is Claiborne Benson, the founder and curator of Wisconsin Black Historical Society. You know, Claiborne, we got your back next Monday, and the your knowledge and your information, you know, so important. We were talking during the break about my own life, and so I went to an all black school from kindergarten through sixth grade, and then the open housing marches. Mm-hmm. So by the time I got to the seventh grade, I went to a 99% white middle school.
Mm-hmm.
So I went from all black to all white.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to tell you, it had an impact on who I am today.
Okay.
And were we treated equally? Absolutely not.
Okay.
We were kind of put in a corner,
mm-hmm.
and weren't really allowed to intermingle. You never thought much about it when you're a kid, right?
Yeah.
You didn't think it. And just like you said, my parents and others believe that when we wound up going to these predominantly white schools, we were going to get a better education.
Yeah.
Truth of the matter was, got a better education mm-hmm. in that all black school.
Yeah.
Because we got a different quality of mm-hmm. education than mm-hmm. our peers in the other schools.
Yeah, very much so.
It's just true.
And so Lloyd Bobby is given the nod by the United States Supreme Court to argue this case, and it impacted the entire nation. But it is one of the things that created a change in every school district throughout the entire nation. Lloyd Bobby's efforts, given to him by Marshall.
Thurgood Marshall. First black Supreme Court justice.
That's right. And Lloyd Bobby is argued the case before the Supreme Court, and he wins that indeed the desegregation of school systems were wrongly done, and every school district in the United States, not just in Milwaukee or the state of Wisconsin, every school there. And Milwaukee reacted to it differently. Milwaukee put together committees and plans, and you can read about it in More Than One Struggle with Jack Doherty's book, how they manipulated and worked with 220 programs, especially schools in the city of Milwaukee. They did all sorts of things to make a peaceful transition to so that integration can really occur throughout the metropolitan area, whereas other cities like Boston and Arkansas, Little Rock, Arkansas, rioted and demonstrated, saying, indeed, we do not want to integrate. And as a result of it, we still have forms of segregation going on, charter schools and those other kinds of schools. They don't say that they're black or white, but there's still methods to separate black public schools from private schools, and it still exists
today. You know, Claiborne, what this does say is going back to the history that you were talking about in the 1830s, and when people were declared, blacks were declared to be free.
Yeah.
We still weren't free.
Yeah, no.
Because it took to 1967.
That's right.
In the city of, and then Claiborne, even further, I don't know what was it, in the 1980s,
yeah,
when, what was the name of the insurance company that got, American Family Insurance.
Yes, that's right.
Got sued. Because they were not allowing blacks.
Yes.
They wouldn't insure their property. I mean, come on.
That's all embedded in the fair housing legislation. It's so complex. Restricted covenants and deeds. That's one of the things that Reggie is working on. And clearly efforts to block African-Americans having residence and being able to live in quality neighborhoods that would influence their quality of life and encourage them to learn, encourage them to be better citizens. That's not happening in the Milwaukee area. You know, one thing that I wanted to say before I get off the show is that we talked about religion and how important religion. We talked about Father James Crosby,
right.
But it's the churches in the western part of the state. Slavery is beginning to occur in 1820s and 1830s, but it's the church that influences the general public that indeed this is not something we want to do. It's the churches in this neighborhood. If you walk over by the river, although the river seems to be invisible, you're hard pressed to see it, but there is a river that flows right through the Waukesha. Look, count how many churches you got in that close proximity. There's literally 10 or 15 churches, and all of them, I won't say every one of them, but most of them participated in the Underground Railroad. Hid people out as they made their way north and found clothing, food, and learned from where they came from and helped to move them on to the next destination,
so Claiborne,
which is Canada.
I don't know what happens to the time when you're here, but
it's gone, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's gone.
It just flies. But we're going to do something. We're certainly going to have you back next week, Monday, but I want to look at some long-term kind of stuff that maybe we can be doing.
All right.
You know, that's Claiborne Benson. Again, he's at Wisconsin's Black Historical Society in Milwaukee. Look him up. They do tours and all those things. Claiborne will be back with us next Monday at the same time. Bob Amsterdam is going to be joining us, and he's going to be from Ukraine, and we're going to be talking about, you know, the Catholic Church and what's taking place in Ukraine as we speak. 844-967-2929. 2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
About 100 cops a day, I heard my mama cry. I heard her pray the night Chicago died. Brother, what a night it really was. Brother, what a fight it really was. Glory be, I heard my mama cry.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.